Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
8 o'clock hour on a very busy Thursday here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Now joined by NFL insider. You see him Football Night in America Sunday nights. ProFootballTalk.com. He is the great Mike Florio on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Michael. How are you doing?
I thought you guys got fired.
Did you think that we were going to be gone?
I wasn't really sure. It was fun, though. I had your back.
Oh, from all those columns and everything you wrote supporting us? Yeah. I missed that.
Wait a minute. I did support you.
Oh, never mind. I think you did.
I saw it. He talked about it with Chris Sims.
Did we have jobs at Pro Football Talk, though, awaiting us? I kind of wondered what would happen if we could get a GoFundMe, how much support we would have had.
It might have worked out in our favor.
For like 2 days.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We could have replaced Shireen.
It shows you that we all have the attention spans of crack-fed goldfish because it's the biggest thing around for a day, and then we move on to something else.
Yes, like Bill Belichick coaching. Mike, I'm so sports sad. I wanted Belichick to take over here. I wanted Belichick to stay in the NFL to prove if this was the Tom Brady mistake all over again when he left New England. How the hell did Bill Belichick end up at North Carolina?
Well, when the news first hit a week ago and I had a chance to sleep on it, it occurred to me this is Belichick's way of letting everyone out there know he's in play. And all he's really got to sink his teeth into is North Carolina. I did some work on it in advance of Football Night in America. I was told he was very surprised by the fact that he'd yet to hear from any NFL teams about 2025. And there were three teams with vacancies, the Bears, the Saints, and the Jets, and teams that were thinking about maybe having a vacancy. They had the ability to talk to him whenever they wanted to because he's not employed by an NFL team. There's no tampering at issue. You can have conversations. You can reach out to him. So in the week that passed between the first report and the announcement that he was taking the job, there was never a single report from anyone. And there are plenty of reporters out there tied to Belichick that there's an NFL team interested. NFL team wants him to wait. College team other than North Carolina has entered the conversation. And at the end of the day, it was North Carolina or nothing. And he ultimately chose the one thing that was there. So everyone knew the train was leaving the station, and they just stood there and waved as the train rolled away.
Why were no NFL teams interested?
I think it's a variety of factors. But look, at the end of the day, you have to have an owner who is willing to give control of the football operation to Bill Belichick. I remember last January, some of his media minions were saying he just wants a coach. He doesn't need control.
Yeah.
Then those same people, when this North Carolina thing pops up, are saying, well, he wants to be in control of the program. There's no owner out there that was willing to give him the keys where he thought that he would still be able to run the team without interference. He had his guy, Mike Lombardi, doing some media last week, and he took a shot backhanded style at Shad Khan and Tony Khan, the father and son in Jacksonville. Lombardi said something like, you've got sons of owners who run the analytics department, and that was viewed by many in the league as a direct shot at Khan. So, yeah, I could go somewhere and be in charge, but I still have to deal with ownership. That's the thing. And the Kraft gave him pretty free rein for most of his time in New England. But at the end of the day, when you are the coach of an NFL team, even if you have full control, you answer to ownership. When you're the head of a college football program, you've got a better shot at autonomy. That, yeah, there's people you answer to, but they're not going to be bothering you. Because, like, if you answer to the chancellor of the university, he's got other stuff to do. What else does the owner of the team have to do? So I think that was one of the reasons it became attractive, more attractive than the NFL. And there was no NFL team that wanted him that he wanted. And now we see what he does in college.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joining us here, 105 through the Fan. A lot of college coaches left over the last few years because of the NIL. Because Bill has been in the pros and he's already basically dealing with a form of NIL, does this make it even a better fit from that regard?
There's a difference though between salary cap, player salary, and NIL, and the transfer portal. You got guys that can leave after 1 year. Players have more power than ever before at the college level. You had a guy under contract, you owned his rights for multiple years. So it's going to be a different reality. He's going to have to either change his personality and interpersonal skills or hire the right people who can deal with the things that would otherwise drive him crazy. I'm convinced that whatever players you give him, whatever players he's able to recruit, will be the best that they can possibly be collectively under the tutelage of Bill Belichick. The question is, how good are those players going to be? And you think about the guys who are entering college football now. They were 11 or 12 the last time Bill Belichick won a Super Bowl. They may not be impressed by Bill Belichick. They may not know who he is. Just some other old man trying to tell him what to do. So that's going to be the challenge. And can you really see Bill Belichick schlepping from house to house and going in and trying to charm the family members? That was Nick Saban's biggest asset before NIL took away his advantage when it comes to getting the right family members around the player to tell the player you're going to Alabama. So that's going to be a big part of the challenge for Belichick. The coaching won't be an issue. It's all that other stuff he's going to have to figure out.
Mike, you mentioned that, you know, it was something where it was North Carolina or nothing for Bill Belichick at this point. Why, you know, we've seen other coaches recently do their image rehab with, you know, Doug Peterson went and did stuff for the 33rd team to kind of build back his image a little bit. Mike McCarthy did all of his press tour with Peter King, and he had also done one with Tom Pelissero and had, you know, really worked actively to show people, look, I'm different. I'm doing things differently. Why didn't Belichick want to try that route as opposed to just dropping down to college where it might be difficult to come back up?
Well, he went 0-7 in January after he was let go by the Patriots. He had the one interview with the Falcons where I think at one point Arthur Blank wanted to hire him, but enough voices from within the organization spoke out and kept it from happening. And with nothing going on for 2025, there was, you know, I thought maybe there'd be a mini land rush for Bill Belichick. His teams realize they're going to make changes. Let's get in touch with Bill. Let's begin to set up the dominoes behind the scenes so when the final game ends, we hit the first domino and we check all the boxes. We do all the things that end in Bill Belichick becoming the coach of the team. That wasn't happening. We got to late November, early December, and it wasn't happening. And I think no amount of media rehab for Bill Belichick is going to change the perception slash reality that he's going to come in, he's going to take over, he's going to be a pain in the ass to work with, it's going to be his way or no way. And for the people who already have jobs in that organization, they're either going to become irrelevant or unemployed. And that's enough to push back against any idea an owner might have to bring in Bill Belichick. And then you're the owner who has to deal with Bill Belichick. He directs some of that disrespect to ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it too. You've got to be able to deal with this guy who knows everything and isn't afraid to tell you you don't know jack diddly squat.
Mike, what are the chances that Mike McCarthy is the coach here next year?
Well, I would have said very slim, but look at what we've been hearing in recent weeks. The comment from Jerry Jones on your air that it's not crazy to envision Mike McCarthy getting a new contract. Dak Prescott wholeheartedly supporting a return of Mike McCarthy. Micah Parsons wants McCarthy to come back. You know, and at the end of the day, the genius of making him think he's got no future in Dallas, it's a lot cheaper to do a new contract than it otherwise would have been for a guy that had three straight 12-win seasons, that's for sure. And the other side of this, too, and I made this point the other day, McCarthy will be a free agent. Wouldn't it be funny if McCarthy gets to the end of the contract and says, I think I'll go somewhere else. And I don't know who else would want him, but if I'm the Bears, I'll take a guy that can win 12 games a season who has a Super Bowl win on his resume. He's a hell of a lot better than any coach I've had since Mike Ditka. That's for damn sure. So maybe Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith had a Super Bowl appearance during his time with the Bears. But, I would love to see one of these coaches whose contract expires and we're like, oh, he's a lame duck. Well, no, he's in demand somewhere else. I don't know that there'll be a demand, but it would create high drama if Mike would say to Jerry, take this job and shove it sideways.
You know, we just talked about Belichick taking the job. That was the most common name we would hear floated of the idea of like, hey, it would be McCarthy or Belichick. That might kind of be the question that Jerry's facing. If Belichick's off the board, does that increase the likelihood that McCarthy's back? Or is there a candidate that you think like, no, there are a couple other people here that would be in play for them probably?
No, I think it increases the likelihood that Mike comes back. Jerry, after they issued the press release last year saying that McCarthy would be back after that embarrassment against the Packers in the playoffs, Jerry talked about how much respect he has for Belichick. Belichick has a ton of respect for the Cowboys. If it was going to work anywhere, it was going to work there. And who knows if they talked about it off the grid behind the scenes or whatever, but that was the guy everyone was thinking would be the upgrade over McCarthy. And Jerry, when he was talking about it after the game this week, he tried to quote the adage, and he got it so wrong that I can't even get it right now. But basically, it's along the lines of, hey, if you're going to fire the coach you have, you better be damn sure you're going to find somebody better. There's a chance you're going to find somebody worse. So, and he lived that when he ran off Jimmy Johnson and ended up with Barry Switzer. You better have your fallback. It's not enough to say fire that bum. You better have somebody ready to hire that you're confident is going to make the team better.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America, here on Sean and RJ, D&M Leasing Hotline. Yeah, you're very good with these numbers and the contracts, and this is a salary cap question from Stephen Jones yesterday, basically saying, you know what, money's probably going to be tight again this upcoming offseason after Cowboy fans and media lost their minds over what they didn't spend outside of their own last offseason. What did you make of what Stephen said?
I don't put any stock into any of this talk. It's a cop-out. If you want to aggressively utilize your resources, you can. There are ways to deal with the salary cap. And here's one way to not deal with it. Don't drag your feet until the guy's held out for all the training camp and all the preseason like CeeDee Lamb. Don't drag your feet until the first game of the regular season that morning and you have to cave and give Dak Prescott $60 million a year. They have been their own worst enemies when it comes to properly identifying and paying the young talent that they want to continue to be the nucleus of the team. They wait too long. The only benefit of delaying this past year was it kept Micah Parsons from knocking on the door saying, I refuse to play for less than $3 million this year. I want mine now. He accepted his spot in line, and they managed to keep that line clogged until it was too late for Micah to do anything about it. And maybe that's the method to the madness, but he's going to be the guy front and center expecting that contract after the season. And I know folks like Rodney Harrison think the Cowboys should just trade him. I think that's crazy talk. When you have a dominant player like that, you build around him, but they're going to have to come up with a way to pay him. And I don't think, you know, Micah said some stuff to ESPN that I'm sure caused his his agent to lose his lunch, but you know, what's the difference between $30 million and $40 million? Well, it's $10 million, Micah. We're talking about generational wealth here. We're talking about you got one shot to get the most that you can for your services, for your sacrifices, for the risks you're taking. Get every penny. I just think this is all part of that broader grift where they cry poor mouth to try to get guys to take less. They cram more money into their pockets. And, you know, I figured out the ruse. And this is my opinion. I'm not trying to get anybody with the flagship station fired. Back when they were dragging their feet in this all-in bull crap, I think that it's all talk about trying to win championships. It's all talk. This is about maximum engagement, interest, popularity, and money. And open your wallets, open your hearts, show up and watch the games, watch them on TV. We're America's team. Pursuing a championship really isn't all that important to us. I came to that conclusion the way they handled this past offseason.
Mike Florio, bringing it strong as always here on DFW Sports Station. Do you have any holiday gifts for our listeners? Do you have any holiday gift ideas?
Oh, I have plenty of holiday gift ideas. They got three different books they can buy, starting with a holiday classic. It'll be a classic when I'm dead, probably, hopefully, maybe, if I'm lucky, On Our Way Home, which is a great Christmas story, well-reviewed, $9.99 for the print edition. That you could like knock off 10 names on your holiday gift list for less than $100 with 10 copies of On Our Way Home. It's available at Amazon through Saturday. The ebook is 99 cents, so you can sample it, read it, make sure it's not crap, and then buy 10 copies for your friends. And my mob stories, small town mob stories set in the 70s, Son of Mine, the sequel to Father of Mine, they're both available. Got plenty more stuff coming too, and everything's at Amazon, and it's all priced to move, and all of it, despite the fact that I wrote it, all of it is good.
All of it on Amazon, NBCSports.com, Pro Football Talk, and Football Night in America. Mike Florio here on the home of the Cowboys. Thank you, brother. We'll catch up again.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Florio on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Is it safe to now go back to this fast food restaurant after the shooter, Luigi, stopped by there? An update, Babe Laufenberg, previews the Panthers, all of it around the corner right here on The Fan.